Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. Have you ever felt spiritually drained or disconnected? This Charged Up series will help you stay plugged into God. From wherever you're listening, we hope you're encouraged by this week's message.
Well, I'm excited because today we are starting part two of our Charged Up series. And this is something that God has given and he wants to be given to his people. So right now I want you to get out your notebooks or your phones. And you know that in this series, we are making a comparison or using a metaphor or symbolism of our cell phones and how we have to stay charged up. And I just want to say this very clearly, that this series is about devotion. This series is about the thing that we are, as a society, not very consistent on when it comes to God. Devotion has three components that we learned last week. When you're devoted to something, you love it, you're loyal to it, and you're enthusiastic about it. There's a lot of things that we love, that we're loyal to, and we're enthusiastic about. And many times, the first one is not God. Let's just be honest. In the society that we live in today, it kind of tells you if God is just in the pot, your meal's gonna be okay. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like they treat God like Lawry's. Some of y'all know what Lawry's are. Lawry's is, it's a seasoning. Yes. It don't matter how nasty the food is. If you just douse it with the little Lawry's, it should be okay. But that's not how God works. It has to be the main ingredient of your life. It has to be the thing that's slow cooked. Has anybody had some food that's been slow cooked? Do you understand what I'm saying? Something that's set and simmered for some hours. Like you go to sleep and wake back up and it's still cooking. That's what living this life with God is like. It has to be a, everybody shout at me, priority. And I'm okay if God is not your priority right now. I'm okay. You might not be. Because there's a lot of things in our life that only get solved by God being our priority. Amen. You can live this Christian walk for a long time, and until we get devoted to God, till we love him, till we're loyal to him, till we get enthusiastic about what he's doing in our lives and the plan that he has for the church as a whole and how we go into the spheres of influence that he's called us to and affect. Until we get that, it kind of is like this religious activity that we do every Sunday. And it kind of is like, I can go when I want to. Doesn't really make a difference. It's not that big of a deal. And I want to tell you that it is the biggest deal that could ever be in your life. So I want to help you. Many times people come to church and then they get beat up of what they're not and who they can't be and all this other stuff. But the whole reason the church is here is to help people, to equip them, to make them able to do what they couldn't do by themselves, to get some other revelation, some other information, and be able to do it in a better way. So I am so glad and I'm so proud of every person who is here, that no matter what you had to do to get here, you are in this place. And I want to especially say I'm proud of every person who has taken the challenge to do this 30-day devotional with us. How many people have been doing your devotion throughout this week? Come on, that's a good number of hands. Everybody else, I'm asking you. That the only way that you're going to start getting devoted to God is by spending time with him.
That's right.
Period. And as I go through this sermon today, I want you to understand that we've made it very simple for you. If you don't know how to do it, there's cards outside. But every day we're challenging everybody to spend 30 minutes with God. 30. Well, Pastor Mike, that ain't nothing. You don't do it. You know, that's what the religious people say. That ain't nothing. You can't tarry for an hour. Just tarry for 30 minutes for 30 days. God would rather consistency than sporadic spurts of us going all out. It's like the person that goes to the gym once a month. Yeah. I'm gonna run 7 miles. And they killed themselves to the point they don't even want to hear a word with the letter G in it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, Jim, nothing. They don't want it. Y'all didn't know that Jim was spelled with a G. Some of y'all was like, huh? Anyway. What I'm saying to you is God is not about being a marathon Christian, he's about you being someone, or a sprinting Christian, he's about you being a marathon Christian. He wants you to run this thing for a long time. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So we want to help you with that today. And many people come in and say, Pastor Mike, why are you so on this devotion thing? Why is this so big to you? Why are we doing a whole sermon series on it? It's because I'm tired of seeing people fail. I have a job where you have this hope and you're trying to give it to people and see it work in their life. And I'm sick of seeing people fail. And many times they try to point to a situation or a person or a hurt. And usually it's just because the creation has never talked back to the creator.
My. That's good. Come on now.
If your car breaks, you go to the manufacturer of the car to figure out how it works. If your phone breaks, you go back to the creator of the phone. But when we break, what do we turn to? And many of us have been trying to fix situations that are broken in our lives, relationships, families, money, broken, jacked up, messed up. But we've never consistently gone back to the Creator. And if we can get this one principle in our life above everything else, is that no matter what I go through, no matter how hard it is, no matter what's going on, I'm going to stay devoted. I'm going to stay plugged in. I'm going to stay connected to God. I promise you, it'll change the very trajectory of your entire life. So I want everybody to say, I'm gonna stay charged up. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, okay? And this is kind of the basis of where this entire message comes from, because I read this and it messed me up. Because, you know, everybody's trying to live this Christian life and do the right things, and they try to do it in their own power, but I saw this and it just made so much sense to me, and I hope it can make sense to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, it says, by God's divine power. Hold on 1 second. Go to Ephesians 4, chapter 12. My bad. Okay, I want to tell you the responsibility that I have. That's what I want to do. I want to equip you. I said it before, but I want to make sure that you get this. My responsibility is to equip God's people. Everybody say, that's me.
That's me.
To do his work and build up the church. Okay, that's my responsibility. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith.
Yes.
And knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. See, this is why you're here learning, because we have to get knowledge of God's Son that will be mature in the Lord. What God wants all of us to do is mature in him.
Come on,
okay? So I'm here to help you mature in God, okay? Measuring up to the fullness and complete standard of Christ. The Message version says it like this. We're going to keep doing this and coming to church, and God's going to keep giving revelation until we're moving rhythmically and easily with each other. Efficient and graceful in response to God's Son. We're fully mature adults, fully devoted to God, within and without. So not just in our spirit we feel good, our attitude is right when we talk to others. Does everybody understand that? We have to have this working in us until it affects our in man and our outward actions. We should be fully alive in Christ, or charged up. And so last week we talked about a power source. That God is the power source.
Yes.
That God's power is dependable. That God's power is transferable. He wants to give it to us. And God's power is available. It is available for every person in this room. We need power to live this life.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I don't know what life you're living right now and what situations you're going through, but how many people in the past month have dealt with some hard situations in an area of your life? That situation was never supposed to be lived without God's power to help you. Now, if you did it and you made it and you went through it, great for you. But don't go through that too many more times without the power of God. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? The relationship issue, the frustration you ran into, don't go through it without the power of God. And this is where you have to understand that there's four components to being charged. If you could bring me that example that I want to show everybody who's ever in the back with my example. If you could, oh, there's my example. Thank you. This is right here, a power source. Okay? this power source would be the thing that we would plug into to be able to see the potential of something on the other end, okay? This cell phone represents you. Now, I want to paint this picture because all of us have a cell phone. How many people have a smartphone or a dumb phone or just a phone, okay? This thing needs power to be able to be effective. No matter what app it has on it, no matter what you want to do on it, if it doesn't have power, it's not able to be effective.
That's right.
But it has to charge from a power source. God is our power source.
Yes.
Then the power source has to have a plug. And the plug has to plug into what? The power source. Okay? Now, for all of our phones, and I want this to be very clear to everybody as we make this correlation. The plug without the cord still has no use. Okay? So let me help you so I can logically take you through what this series is going to help you with. This plug represents the word of God. This plug is the one that distributes the power. Okay? You plug into the power source, you get a distributor of the power, and then you get a connection point. And this connection point is prayer and worship. When you connect to the power source with having the distributor of the word of God, then you get a connection point of prayer and worship, which is the place where the exchange happens. See, when we pray, we talk to God. We exchange with God. When we worship, we exchange with God. And what happens is the device then is the benefactor of being plugged in to the power source. This is what your life should look like. That I'm plugged into the power. The word is beginning to work into my life where it's now fueling something. Now I pray and I worship because I understand that it is my connection point to get what I need to live this life. When you understand that you walk and you talk from this standpoint. See, when I come unplugged, for a moment, it can seem like everything is still working.
Uh-huh.
I can go a few years acting like my attitude is changed and our relationship is good. But at some point, you are going to be drained by this life and it's going to say low battery. If you don't plug into the source, all your potential, all of the things you want to do, all of the things that you dreamed of are going to come to a point where you can't do it. And the sad thing is that many people are walking around like they're charged up and they're on empty. What's draining you? What's taking away the power that God has given you? I'm teaching today. I don't need a whole bunch of amens. I want you to get it. It's time for us to plug into the source. That our marriages plug into the source. That our relationships, our thought processes, our businesses. Listen, God doesn't want you to live outside of Him. He doesn't want two lives. He don't want you to have your Christian life and then your regular life. Uh-oh, I'm coming to you. I ain't in church. I'll cuss you out. Well, then cuss them out in the church then. Because that's who you are. God said that I don't like the lukewarm. I'd rather you be ratchet right up in here than to be holy right now and then ratchet over here. He said, I'll spit you out. I can't even deal with that. He said, I only can change what you will acknowledge needs me. And now we have this epidemic of two-faced Christians. Oh, y'all know them. You're sitting next to a couple of them. Amen. Don't look. But the Christian that has a line, that if you cross this line, I'm going to change on you. The word goes out the window. Y'all know those things that the word goes out the window. If you touch my kids. No, he didn't just say that. That's not biblical. Your mama just taught you that.
Amen.
See, we have to stop taking things that are cultural and making it the word of God. See, because until you start using the word of God as the final authority in your life, You will always be tossed to and fro by however you're feeling. So when I feel like me and my wife aren't connecting, that's a line. I used to be the man. I ain't never had to ask nobody for nothing. Girls was just done, dude. Hear me. This is real conversations I've had with men. And so, I mean, if she ain't giving it to me, I guess I'm going to go have to find it. God knows I got needs. No, God said to be faithful to one woman. That unless y'all are fasting and y'all both consent, that there should be a little love in, not the club, but in your bedroom. There should be something happening, but he said that you should honor that woman, be in love with the wife of your youth. Even if that line gets crossed, you're not supposed to work out of your feelings. You're supposed to work by the word. Now, I know everybody don't like this, but it's the truth anyhow. And many of the results that we see is because we come unplugged. And the sad thing for many people is that they're plugged into worship and prayer, but they're not plugged into the word. So you think and other people think that you doing something because your playlist got worship on it.
Oh, come on.
And you pray all the time. I just took it to the Lord. I just took it to the Lord. I was struggling and I took it to the Lord. But until you find the word of God that backs up, it'll change the way you pray. See, some of y'all are praying for things and God is saying, I need you to pray for the king. I need you to pray for me to come and dwell in you. I need you to pray. But see, when you're unplugged, you think that's fine. And then the sadder thing is that some people are plugged in with worship and prayer and they got the connection and they religiously read the word. It's a sport for them. It's, I got my 6 scriptures in the day. I'm filled, I'm healed. You know what I'm saying? Those type of people. The problem is they've been disconnected from the power source. It says they have a form of godliness, but they deny. What I'm trying to say is I don't want anybody faking in this place. Wherever you're at, it's where you're at, but we're giving you the keys if that you would get plugged into God. Get the word a part of your life. Now listen, get the word before you get prayer and worship. Now nobody's ever told you this because they don't want your worship experience to be hindered and all this other stuff. They want everybody to feel. Hear me. If you only could do one of these three things, read the word, amen, pray, or worship, read the word.
Amen.
Because the word will lead you, the Bible says, to salvation. See, you try to tell unbelievers, well, you just need to worship and pray. They don't know what that is. You give them a Bible, you give them all this stuff, you just need to worship and pray. It's no, give them a Bible and let them just start reading the word. It says it will begin to stir something on the inside of them. And see, this is why I read the word when I'm mad. I read the word when I'm frustrated. I read the word when I'm horny. I read the word in every. See, y'all so fake over there. This whole section when I said this, oh my God. But that's the life we live. And we try to go talk to people when we're struggling. They have no power to change your situation. They have no power to see anything move. Well, dog, I just need to feel something cool. But let me tell you, if you get plugged into word, what'll happen is you'll go find the connection. See, when I got a power source and I got a charger, I start asking people for one of these. Come on, have you ever been somewhere where there was a plug available? And you got your brick? You'll start at, hey, do y'all have a, you got your cord? Does anybody have a, for iPhone, iPhone 6, 6 Plus, anybody? You'll go in places where you don't even know people. Does anybody? Why? Because for this to be productive, I got to have a connection to the power. So what I'm saying is, if you get connected to God and you start to read the word, you'll find prayer and worship. And once you find prayer and worship, the automatic thing is, I'm not about to just have all that power sitting there and conducting and running through here and my device is low. I'm going to find a way to plug it in. And once you plug into the source, this is how God wants you to live your life. Plugged in and charged up. Somebody give God some glory right there. Amen. We're going home. Amen. No, I'm just playing. Okay. So for that to happen, we have to understand the Bible, okay? So I want us to understand the Bible better, because for a lot of people, it's frustrating to read. People don't understand it. Some people get the spirit of sleep when they start reading the Bible. Some people get the spirit of distraction when the Bible, I mean, literally, anytime you do it, for some people, it's just a book of religious laws and things that, but I want you over the next couple of weeks to start falling in love with the word of God like never before. And I believe that when you do that, everything changes. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. This is what I was saying to you earlier, that God says by his divine power, it basically is the word backing up everything that I just said. By his divine power, he has given us everything we need to live a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, aka the Bible, the word of God. So he gave us the Bible, okay? And he said, through this, you can participate in the divine nature, a nature that is not like you. The nature that tells you in your own flesh to slap that person, God's divine nature will come in and say to turn the other cheek. See, most people don't know how to do that. We hear that from a worldly standpoint. I'm like, turn the other cheek. I'm going to turn their other cheek. I'm going to slap them. We're going to do all this stuff. But God says, if you plug into me, I can give you power that is already in me through the scriptures to be able to work in a divine nature. And he says, you'll be able to participate escaping the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So what I'm trying to say is that there's nothing more important, no better resolution to problems, no better decision-making tool than to be and learn more about the word of God. Go to John 1:1. And I want everybody to see this, okay? Getting more of God's word in you is primary to everything that you want to see in your life. It says, in the beginning was the word. It's interesting that God calls himself the word. I want everybody to see this. He said, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Everybody say, God is the word. Okay, I want everybody to understand this. Before there was a printed Bible, God called himself the word. Okay, and then he said, they ain't gonna get it like that. Not just, I call myself the word, I am the word. So I want you to realize that your Bible is God. That just changed a lot of people's perspective right now. Because people go, if God would just speak to me, if God would just say something, if he would just tell me what to do, I would obey. He did. In his word. Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to leave him. I don't know if I'm supposed to keep in this. I don't know. God has spoken about that in his word. Okay. Well, what I'm supposed to do with this money? I mean, this is my money. I earned it. So I'm supposed to tithe? I'm supposed to do this? Don't ask me. Ask God. Well, God ain't spoken to me. Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. See, we want this supernatural, supernova experience. We want this spooky, and it is I, the God of the universe. We want the music to play and people to, hey. We want all of this for God. He visited me in a dream last night. Girl, I saw him. He was just standing there. He looked like Morris Chestnut. His chest, literally, his skin, his glory. Stop. You want God to speak? In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. You want to find out how to do your business? Ask God in his word. You want to figure out how to have a successful marriage? Ask God in his word. And so what happens so many times is we need God to speak, and he's already spoken, so we go to him in prayer, and he doesn't say nothing. Because the one thing about a good father is when they speak, they stop speaking. One thing about my daughter that she's learning right now is when daddy says something, that's what I meant, and that's what I'm going to do, and I need you to listen the first time. And so people want an audible voice. They want a spirit move. They want something. And God's already spoken in his word. I dare you to start the questions that you have in your heart and in your life to just begin to search the scriptures and see if God hadn't already spoken. Well, you know, I thought I was supposed to, you know what I'm saying, go out here. I mean, there's so many girls out here, Pastor Mike, you know what I'm saying? They all fine. I thought I was supposed to go out here and try, you know what I'm saying, and see which, you know, fit. But the word is already spoken. He said a man should fall in the wife of his youth. He should be in love with the wife of his youth. The problem with our generation today is in our youth, we're out here trying so many things without finding wife on the mind that then when we get to 30 and 40 and all these other things, we're like, God, where's she at? She said she's been waiting for 10 years. And the word is trying to tell us how to live our life and how to posture ourselves and how to raise our kids and how to move because he wants us to prosper. And that is why the word of God is so important. Look at John chapter 1, verse 14. Just go down a couple of verses. Because God knew it was going to be hard for some people to understand. He said, you know what? I'm not just going to say I am the word. He said, I'm going to make it easier for them. I'm going to become the word. He said, then Jesus came to earth, not just, it says the word became flesh. Okay. And was made and it dwelt among him. So he knew that we were remedial in some areas of our life. That he just couldn't say it. He needed to show it. And so what he did is he said, I am the word, but they're not hearing it like that. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna send my son in the flesh and to become the word. And for 33 years, he walked this earth and showed us how to live this thing in this life. And so that's why my desire is that we learn the word, that we love the word, and then most importantly, we live the word of God. I need everybody to hear me. Please don't make this a religious experience that makes you feel better and there's no change. Nobody's putting a time limit on your change, how fast you have to do it, but there should be a change in your life as you plug in to the word of God. Go to John chapter 6. Verse 63. I'm using a lot of word because the word is the thing that's going to change you. Okay? John chapter 6, verse 63. And this is Jesus talking. See, the Bible is authored by God, but penned by men. So this is God speaking. And Jesus makes this claim while he's on the earth. He says, the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. He said, the words I have spoken to you, they are full of the spirit. Now, I want everybody to highlight that, underline that right now. I'm going to give you a little theology. That word spirit right there is the closest English word that they could be able to identify. But the actual word is pneuma. That's what it is. It's P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma. And that means breath of God. It said the word that I speak to you, the word that I've given you, it is pneuma. It is breath of God. What are you trying to say, Pastor Mike? God's saying when he speaks a word, he doesn't just speak a word. He gives power in that word to complete what he's asked you to do. He literally gives breath. Y'all ever seen somebody do CPR or reviving surgery? What they're doing is they're going one, two, three, they're compressing, and then they blow breath because the breath is supposed to bring life into the body. What God is saying is when you read the word, it's not just words that you're reading on a page. It's spirit. So it is God's breath. When you read, he will begin to breathe the power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I will be everything that you call. Do you understand when you get the word in you, it now starts supplying you? with the breath of God to complete what he's called you to do. That's why the enemy fights you so hard from getting in the word. Because he know if you ever got the breath of God in your marriage, if you ever got the breath of God in your money, if you ever got the breath of God, I can be everything you call. And what happens is dead things live when God breathes into them. Well, my situation, the doctor gave this report. What word are you speaking over it? Because dead things live when God breathes on it. That was the encouragement somebody needed today. You came in here, your job situation so backwards and twisted and crazy. Start speaking into it. Start speaking the word of God into it. He says, my words are spirit. What have you been declaring over you? You know that house. You got six kids and y'all in an apartment. You know that God wants to expand your borders. But what have you been speaking over it? This is why the word of God is so important to your life. It's because when you start reading it, it begins to breathe the spirit of God into it. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Y'all don't want to ever lose none of these scriptures. Because this is going to help you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Put it on the screen for me real quick. Because I want everybody to read this one together. Okay? It says, for the word of God is, what's the next word? Oh, it's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Okay. For the word of God, say this word is.
Alive.
Shout it at me.
Alive.
This is not a book of historical facts. This is a book of faith and miracles that is alive to work in your life. I didn't say this. This is what the word of God says, okay? Now watch. It says it's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Can I tell you what that means? That the word of God can do great surgery on you. And see, many people get scared when people say surgery, but no surgery is ever performed without healing being the objective. You don't get cut open just for the fun of it. And see, that's what church has been doing for people for years. Let me cut you with the word. And then we leaving people sit up here chopped up and it's just like, and God will heal you. No. The word is supposed to be like a scalpel.
Yes.
Able to work through the intricacies of your life and be able to cut things out that are not like God, that were formed in places that were not like God. And it's supposed to do it, but not so you can stay cut open. So that you can be healed. That's what the word of God does. It does surgery and then it heals you. Watch. It says, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. Now, a lot of people read that and they be like, what does that mean? That is churchy. That sounds, woo, really deep in there, in the marrow. All it's trying to say is the word of God will get into you. And they'll start messing with stuff. You start reading the word and you still shacking up with old girl. You do it a couple more times and they'll start messing with you. It'll be like, that wasn't what I thought it was going to be. You keep stealing. You start reading the word of God. That's why I tell people all the time, God's not concerned about your habit. He has a tool for that.
Wow.
He wants your heart. If he gives you your heart, and you get plugged in to the word of God, it'll start messing with you by yourself. There's stuff I used to do when I started reading the word, I just knew, dang, that's the last time I can do that, dang. Y'all know what I'm saying? You start reading the word. Why did I read Hebrews today? Because it'll get in between places that no man could tell you. See, God has checked me on my attitude through his word that my wife couldn't. I'll be having an argument with her and she'll say the very thing. And then I'll read the word of God and be like, oh, God. Oh, God. Because the word of God is to perfect us. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Okay. And it says it judges the thoughts. And the attitudes. Now, if we were to all boil it down to the bad parts of us, most of them start with our thoughts and they end with our attitude. And many times we don't want people to judge them. So who are you accountable to? Only God can judge me. He's trying to by his word. Did y'all see the scripture? God's judgment is not supposed to be at the final of your life. People think, I'm going to live any kind of way and only God can judge me, cuz. Y'all know. Got it tattooed on their whole chest and their head. Like that gives you an excuse. This is what the word says. He said, when you read the word, it judges your thoughts and your attitudes of the place you've never expressed. It's the ones that are in your heart. See, that's why many of us, we tell ourselves, I ain't do it. I ain't say it. So I'm good. God says, I want to transform you from the inside out. We've been more concerned with the outside. And that's why God says to us, I'm the one that's over promotion. Man looks at the outward. But I look at the heart. Why, God, why am I not further along? Because God opened your heart. And he knew that next level would just expose it. He loves you too much to put you in that position. So he wants to give you an opportunity to get it right. So he plants you in Transformation Church and you come and you hear a whole series about how you love so you can stay here and know that you don't got to be judged. Then the next series that he tells us to do is called Charged Up, where he's telling you to get devoted to him. Why? Because he wants to take things out of you that nobody else can. And he wants to put in you what nobody else can. I'm preaching up here. I don't care what y'all say. Y'all ain't got the amen me. Amen. Amen. You better preach. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want y'all helped. I don't want to build a church of numbers and everybody the same. We can make this thing really great and everybody feel good. But then you're not transformed and you pass that down from generation to generation. Do you know half the stuff you dealing with was your great grandfather not dealing with it? You may not even know him, but nobody stood up and said, as for me in my house. We are not just going to serve him. We're going to do what his words say. Okay. So when you read the Bible, what you need to understand is you're not just getting information. You're getting power to do the information. Write that down. When you read the Bible, you're not just getting information. You're also getting the power to do the information. That's the beauty of the Word of God. He gives you ability. That means you're able. Many things we try to do on our own, and we start, but we're not able to do it. When we read the word of God, there's supernatural ability that begins to come. And you'll be able to do things that you couldn't do last year. You'll be able to do things that was hard. You'll be able to not do things that you couldn't walk away from. Because the word gives you ability. So today, I just want to give you the theology part of this. Just three things that I want you to know. So that the word of God is not so complicated and mundane to you. And then we'll finish it up next week, and then we're going to move to the next part of the series. But what makes the Bible come alive, number one, is faith activates the word of God. Faith activates the word of God. I'm going to explain it to you, so don't worry about it. But faith activates the word of God. Faith is the supernatural power to believe in something, okay? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, this is Paul talking, it says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Okay, so Paul's talking and he says, but the word which they heard, so everybody heard the word, it said it did not profit them. It didn't work in their lives. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, I need them to see this, if you could get that on the screen for me, in the New King James Version. I just want us to see that. And if you don't, please take good notes and watch this back. It says, the gospel that was preached, the word that was heard, it said, everybody heard it, but it didn't profit a certain group of people because it was not mixed with something. It wasn't mixed with faith. Okay? So it's like the people in this room. Some people are going to leave here because they came with faith. And they'll be like, that was the best message I ever heard. God, what? And the other people's like, yeah, he missed it. Y'all know y'all be judging people messages like that. How was today? Nah, 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 a four. Y'all trifling. Y'all try to do this. But hear me. The reason why it works for some people and it doesn't work for other people and everybody's hearing it is because you forgot to mix it with faith. So that's why people go into places and when your attitude's already wrong, because like if we went into certain environments, I'm going to talk to black people for 1 second, because if you went to an all white church and you didn't know the songs and you didn't like the ripped jeans and the long shirts and all that other stuff, you get an attitude. And you start looking and you know the song, but you're not going to sing it because it don't feel right. And now what's happening is you're now starting to allow doubt, unbelief, frustration, judgment, all these things to creep in. And the word that you needed was in the house, but you didn't hear it because you started holding back from mixing it with faith. That's why when I go into any place, I don't care if a dog is speaking. If God can use a donkey in the Bible, some of y'all need to say, God, wherever you're at, I'm listening. And matter of fact, you're so big and you're so powerful, you can use this unbelieving boss that gets on my nerve to speak to me. So God, everywhere I go, I'm mixing this mug with faith. What you got to say, God? What you got to say, God? I believe that you can speak to me in any situation. You know that I've been spoken to through the sports. I've been spoken through in situations. I've been in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie and he at the end said, I'll be back. God starts speaking to me in there. He said, Michael, I'm coming back. Y'all know what I'm saying? But he'll speak in anything if you just mix it with faith. It's almost like Kool-Aid. How many people love Kool-Aid? Glory to God. My wife makes diabetes Kool-Aid, and I don't recommend it to anybody that's trying to stay healthy. But there are times that she makes this Kool-Aid, and one time I made the mistake of she had mixed it all up, but we had ran out of sugar. And so I poured me a big glass. Y'all know them Big Daddy glasses. Put ice in it. And boy, I was just, you know how you drink and you let it run down the side just cause you thirsty. It was all down my neck. And it was, I just opened up for a big gulp and it was the most disgusting thing in the world. Cause there was something not mixed in it. Why this Christian walk for many of you has been bitter? It's been hard to swallow. It's because you have not start mixing it with the faith that God can begin to change something in my life. That you know what? I've been here for a long time, but I ain't staying here. This is not God's best for me, and so I am now mixing it with it. Every time I come to church, I'm looking for God to speak to me in worship. Matter of fact, I can't wait from Sunday to Sunday. So when I start in my car in the morning, I am mixing my life with faith. And this is how the word comes alive. Practical step. When you get ready to read the word, just say, God, I thank you that you'll speak to me and I believe your word is true. That's a simple confession. I believe your word is true. So when I mix it with that faith, then things start happening. Like, I didn't see that there before. I done read this scripture 1,000 times and it makes a different amount of sense to me. I don't know what that was, but that hit me somewhere and it ain't talking about my specific situation, but I feel peace in my... When you mix it with faith. So the faith activates the word of God. Point two, because some of you are like, well, Pastor, my faith is low right now. What do I do when my faith has been drained by the things in life? I had somebody come to me who's talented, full of the Spirit of God, but came to me a couple weeks ago and said, Pastor Mike, I don't even know if I want to do this thing. I don't know if I want to go after this Christian life anymore because I've tried before and my faith is low. Now, if we be honest in this place, how many of us have been at that place before? My faith is low. Can you just be bold enough so somebody else who's there can know that it's okay? My faith is low. What do I do? How do I activate the word of God when my faith is low? Because I need faith for the word to work, but my faith is low. Revelation, point two, activates faith. Revelation activates faith. See, this is the thing. Revelation is revealed truth. Okay. So what happens many times in the Greek, there's two words for the word word. Two words for the word word. The first one is logos, okay? And all that means is the written or spoken word of God. So right now I'm speaking the word of God, and that's what many of you are receiving. You're receiving the spoken word of God. If you were to read my notes, you would be receiving the written word of God. You just, if you read the Bible, that's just the written word of God. But it's not until you get this second level that it becomes alive in you, that revelation comes and faith comes. It's when you start working in another word called rhema. Rhema, okay? And this word rhema means revealed truth, okay? So I want everybody to understand this, is that Luke gives us an account of a woman that most of us, even if you're not a Christian, knows this, where you can actually see written or spoken word, and then when it becomes revealed truth to her, okay? This is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And you can, I'm gonna paraphrase it just for time, in Luke chapter 1, verse 34. But what happens is the angel Gabriel comes to her and is like, hey, Mary, how you doing? I know everything's been okay. So about what I wanted to meet with you about, you're gonna get pregnant and the baby's gonna be God's. Yeah. And that's a lot. That's loaded. And look what Mary's response was in verse 34. She said, how can this be? Like, so this is what I want everybody to understand, that she heard the word. She heard because she responded with a question. How can I do this? Many of us have heard the word of God, and we respond with the question, well, how am I going to live pure? How is that business going to work? How are these things? And that's okay with God. He wants you to understand that. That is the first level of being able to get what the Bible's saying. So he said, Mary heard because she answered with the question. Now look at this. The angel helps her. Verse 35, he answered. He said, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and then the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then verse 37, and this is the encouragement to you. It said, for no word. Now that word right there is rhema. No revealed truth from God will ever fail. This is why it's so important for you to get into the word of God. Because if you ever get revealed truth, if it ever says, aha, I get it for the first time, this is why. Oh, and some people who've been in the faith for a while, they've had a few aha moments, and other ones, there's all more aha moments for all of us to have. So this is not a thing about where we at and how much God uses. We all need revealed truth, because when we get revealed truth, then it makes us believe what God says. Now watch. So then she says, verse 38, once he gave her the rhema, no word from God will ever fail. She says, well, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me, your rhema to me, be fulfilled. Yeah. I came to encourage somebody that no word from God is ever going to fail. Yeah. That's why you have to plug in to the word of God, because he wants you to succeed. And not just off of good ideas and good intentions. Every beginning of the year, all of us want to lose 30 pounds. Everybody wants to make a New Year's resolution. This year, I'm going to have an ab. All this other stuff. And we try in our power. A-ab. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I just want one. It can be anywhere. I just want one app. But we do it in our power. How long does it last? To the fifth. Why? It's because we're trying to do things in our power. But God says, let me give you my divine power. If you just read my word, I'll begin to reveal things to you that will give you the faith to make this thing work. Okay? So then that begs the question, all right, Pastor Mike, so I hear what you're saying. If faith activates the Bible or the word of God and revelation activates faith, well, then what activates revelation? My last point to the day. I said everything else to get you to this point. Meditation activates revelation. Meditation. Meditation is when you slow down. You stop for a minute. You get in a quiet place and you read the word and you listen to the word and you hear the word and you let it go in. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful in whatever, wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. The Hebrew is very pictorial, okay? So we talk Greek and Hebrew because those were the original translations of the Bible, just for everybody to understand. The Hebrew, it takes like 30 pages of pictures to describe one word. So I want to paint this picture of what meditate looks like. Okay, it's like the word ruminate. And some of y'all don't even know what that word is. So I'm going to break it down even further. We're in the Midwest. Okay, so if you drive out, you know, a nice little ways, you'll see a few cows, especially if you go to Texas. You can find some cows. And this word right here, meditate, is basically the same word of a cow chewing his cud. Does anybody know what that is? It's how y'all see cows out there and they take some grass. And they run around in their mouth. And they're not in a hurry. And they're not trying to move. They're not trying to scarf it down. Some of y'all just like y'all scarf down y'all food. Uh-uh. They do this like my wife eats. Slow. I love you, babe. They just let it. And this is what they do. They then swallow it, get the nutrients out of it, and then they do the most disgusting thing in the world. But they spit it back up. Yeah. And they don't spit it out. They start chewing on it again. And they swallow it. And they do the most disgusting thing for a second time. They spit it up and they chew on it again. What God is trying to say to you is that there are nutrients that come as you continue to meditate on my word. I want a new scripture. I want something different. I want a new Bible plan. God said, stick to that one for the next 6 months. And let that mug marinate in you. Let it be something that you bring back up. Literally, God will give me a scripture and it'll be my scripture for weeks and months at a time. Why? It's because he's trying to bring more nutrients. It's alive. It's active. It's not what you got the first time. It's what you get the second time and the third time and the 15th time and the 26th time. You got to meditate on the word of God. And when you meditate on the word of God, the second part of this verse happens. And who doesn't want this? So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Wow, wow. Wow. Now, how many people in here want to be prosperous and successful? God just gave you the key. The word of God. If you start spending time in the Word of God, Faith makes the word work. Revelation brings faith. Our faith brings revelation, and then revelation comes when we meditate. Guys, it's not going to happen on the first path. I didn't get nothing out of this Bible reading today. This is stupid. I said, read it again. I believe your word is true. Activate faith with it. Read it again. God, you said you would supply all my needs, and I am broke. Where you at, though? I said, read it again. Confess it. Put it up everywhere. Start telling people. Let your post be about that. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I am a joint heir with Christ. I mean, just start letting those things. Some of y'all scared to, you have a big dream and God's called you to do things in front of people and you're timid and introverted. You need to start speaking like Moses. What God said to Moses, he said, if you open up your mouth, I will fill it. I will put you in front of people and I'll give you. See, there's scripture for everything. But the enemy tries the weapon of mass distraction.
Wow.
So if we're so distracted on what man says and Colin Kaepernick taking a knee and what Kim Kardashian is doing and what the other pastors and bishops are speaking about this week and the new dance craze and the new video that has 15 million views in 1 hour, we'll stay distracted from the thing that will bring us prosperity and success in every area of our life. Guys, I want everybody to hear me. Your life is supposed to stay charged up, but it only happens when you plug in to the source through the Word of God. Then you get connected to prayer and worship, and your device, your life, is able to reach its full potential. I will not die with what God's put in me on the inside of me. And I declare over your life this morning that you will not die with what God has put in you on the inside of you. It's got to come out. And it will be to the glory of God. But this is the key. You have to plug in to the Word of God.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this one. Now go and live a transformed life.